Okay, so good evening. Last week we discussed what I called Bikur Cholam Basics, which was Bikur Cholam, visiting the sick under normal circumstances, a regular sick visit. We mentioned some of the basic halachos last week, is that there are three dimensions of Bikur Cholam. When you visit an ill person, the first dimension is simply to show compassion for the person and to show that you care about the person. And the idea is that in that light, you will perhaps help the person recover. That was stage number one. Stage number two that we mentioned last week about Bikur Cholam was the idea that the Gemara said that Rabbi Akiva once had a student who was sick, and when Rabbi Akiva went to visit him, what he did was he poured some water on the floor, right? We noted that the floors used to be dirt floors, right? And if you have dirt floors, so what's going to happen is that the dirt basically ends up hurting you. It doesn't allow you to breathe as well as you should. So when Rabbi Akiva came in and visited him, he poured the water on the floor to allow the dirt to settle. And because the dirt settled, so then he felt better. So the second dimension of Bikur Cholam is not the emotional support, but it's providing for physical needs. No? That was the second dimension that we mentioned last week. So you go, you visit a person, you should see, is the window open, is the person comfortable, like you provide for the physical needs. That was reason number two. And the third reason that we noted was the comment of the Ramah, based on the Ramban, that if I do Bikur Cholam and I don't daven, so I have not fulfilled the mitzvah, no? That was the famous comment, that the idea of Bikur Cholam is that you're supposed to daven for the ill person. We noted that the tefillah, the prayer in the presence of the ill person, is more effective than the prayer elsewhere. No? Davening is, we assume that davening is always effective, no? The Gemara has an expression in one place that there's no prayer that goes unanswered. That doesn't seem to be true, no?
The answer is no.
Right, sometimes the answer is no, right? That's the basic idea. Let's make sure I turn this off. But the idea is that every tefillah goes answered on a certain level. You're supposed to daven for the ill person. If you don't pray, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam. You haven't properly done your duty. Now,
you daven right then and there.
So the pashtus is, the simple thing is that you should daven right then and there. And we pointed out last week that most people don't do this, no? But the obligation is when I'm in the room with a sick person, I should daven, no? And that means, probably, I thought that when we say refuah shalema to the person, you should have in mind that what I'm really saying is, you know, God, like, refuah shalema. Like, it should be, or that you should actually spend time to daven. That is the only way you fulfill the mitzvah Bikur Cholam properly, is if you daven. People often get this wrong, but I think it's...
I don't think people have any model for how to do that, other than saying, before
signing. So I think what you have to do is encourage the person, and like you could say something in English. You could say, you know, Mr. whatever, Mrs. whatever, I see you're okay, but I know that you could be doing better. We pray for your continued recovery. We pray that you should only get stronger. I look forward to seeing you in Shul and Shabbos a few weeks from now, etc. Right? There are ways of, you know, you have to use a little bit of common sense. That's always hard. Right? Common sense is not so common.
Right?
But you have to... you have to say, listen, we are davening for you. We are praying for you. That's the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam. If you don't daven, you don't get the mitzvah. Now, what I'd like to talk about, that was standard Bikur Cholam in normal situations, in normal cases. Tonight I'm going to try to address some more obscure, strange cases, and then we'll also talk about Bikur Cholam on Shabbos. We'll try to do all of this like in 25 minutes, half an hour. We'll see how far we can get. Someone last week mentioned this funny idea. The Gemara says that if I visit you, no? So I get 1/60th of your illness, right? We all heard this in grade school. And like, it sounds very...
What? It's like an antidote.
It's like an antidote, right?
It takes away 1/60th.
It takes away 1/60th, but sounds like I get it, right? Because there's transference, right? Isn't this like the way they teach it to you in elementary school? So I want to go through this idea of the Ben Gilo. We'll try to explain what it means, etc. And we'll try to give some rational explanation for this thing that seems to be very heebie-jeebie and weird.
What does Ben Gilo mean?
Well, that's the big question. So we'll have to define the term. But let's learn together,
okay,
and then we'll figure it out. I'm Reb Acha Reb Chanina. Gemara Nedarim Daf Lamed Tesam Beis at the top. Reb Acha the son Reb Chanina says, "Kol mevaker chola no tel echon mishishim b'tzaaro." When I am mevaker chola, when I visit the ill person, I take away 1/60th of your pain. So Amri Lei. So the guy's a great mathematician. He said, "Okay, imkain le alon shitin velo kmuha." Let 60 people come and right raise him up. No. It's not, by the way, in a show like ours, we get around 600 people. So we could probably, you know, traditionally, by the way, they used to pay the Bikur Cholim Society. Did you know this, Mrs. Silowitz? That apparently in some communities, the Chochmas Adam has the following practice. That the members of the Chevra Kadisha were also the members of the Chevra Bikur Cholim. So if a person had not been to a minyan for 3 days in a row, so the head of the Chevra Kadisha would knock on your door. Because it would be very scary. Either you haven't been there for 3 days and you're dead, and we have to take care of you, or you haven't been at Minyan for 3 days, and right, I'm also serving my role as head of the Bikur Cholim Society. The first Bikur Cholim Society historically, by the way, FYI, was in the year 1336. We don't know of any Bikur Cholim Society before the year 1336. In the Encyclopedia of Halacha and Refuah, he quotes that in Saragossa, in 1336, there was a Bikur Cholim Society, and then it spread throughout Europe. Traditionally, they were paid, just like traditionally, I don't think it's true anymore, but traditionally, members of the Chevra Kadisha used to be paid. Right, no longer true, correct?
Not that I know of.
Well, there are people who do this as their job.
That's it, right. There are...
It was random. We're not talking about a shul.
It used to be like a community... It used to be a community thing. It was an appointed position. That was the chevra. We'll talk about why the fact that they used to get paid in a few later on, the end of this year tonight, we'll try to talk about why the fact that they got paid might be important. So again, so the Gemara says, if I visit you, I take away 1/60th of your pain. So the Gemara asks, okay, so let 60 people go and nothing will hurt anymore. So the Gemara says, Amar Lai Kisir Yusa de Bei Rebbe, it's like a tenth of Bei Rebbe. This is a Gemara in Ksubis, basically. It means a tenth of a tenth of a tenth of a tenth. So it's a 60th of a 60th of a 60th of a 60th. You're never going to get down to zero.
Where do you get this division?
In other words, basically, each person who goes takes away 1/60th of what remains. But you'll never get down to zero.
You're taking away a 60th of 59 over 60, that's not infinitesimal.
Well, no, but it's not, again, the Gemara asks if 60 people go, I should end up with zero. The Gemara says, no, when 60 people go, you don't end up with zero, because person one takes away 1/60th. So now there are 59 parts illness that remain. Person two takes a 60th of that 59 parts. Person three takes a 60th of... It still gets down. Obviously, there is an advantage of many people doing Bikur Cholim. That's what we see.
Yeah, I think that's
right? The more people who go, the better. So then the Gemara asks, blah, blah, blah.
What's with Ben Gilo?
Right? Kisa Yusa Debe, Rabbi Uba Ben Gilo. Right? So it has to be, A, it's not that 60 people are going to take away the whole thing. It also has to be a Ben Gilo. Ben Gilo alone means a son of the same constellation. That's what Ben Gilo means. What does that mean? So the Ran in the Durim comments, Shenolad Hamavakir b'mazalo shel chole, that the visitor was born under the same constellation as the ill person. Apparently what's going on is that we believe in astrology. Right? And if we're born under the same sign, so effectively we should both be suffering the same ailment. I come to visit you, you have this illness, but I should be you. Right? So I'm going to get some of your ailments because we both should be under the same constellation and we should both suffer the same way. That's the way the Ran says it. This is definitely heebie-jeebie. I don't understand a word of this. I'm too young to understand any of it. This is the best I could do.
What does it mean that the visitor takes away? It means he's making himself sick?
So many understand that the visitor himself gets sick. It's a type of absorbing some of the illness. It's a type of transference.
So how does a person have to make himself sick?
How am I allowed to make myself sick? A good question, right? So the answer is, some say the Chassam Sofer writes in his Chedushim in this Gemara, I'm not really going to get sick because I'm getting 1/60th of your illness. And in halacha, 1/60th is always bottle.
Yeah, right.
It's bottle b'shishim. Just like I have a drop of milk that falls into my cholent, right? And there's 60 times more. 60 is always the example of nullification. So I'm going to get a little bit of illness, but it will become nullified right away. Chick-chack, boom, not a problem. Right? Makes perfect sense. Fine. Don't understand the word of this. Now, Rashi doesn't understand Ben Gilo the same as the Ran does. Now, I should point out that Rashi in the Durim was not written by Rashi, to the best of our knowledge, no? There's a dispute among scholars about, there's a few parts of Shas that we have Rashis that don't read like Rashi usually does, and there's a dispute among scholars what it means. Either it means that Rashi actually wrote it, but Rashi wrote it as notes from his teachers, rather than Rashi wrote it as his own commentary. That's one explanation. Another explanation is that Rashi wrote his commentary on the Gemara 4 different times, and he used to erase each one. And the commentary on the Dorim and on Nazir and a few other Masechtos is just an earlier draft, and Rashi never got around to the later draft. The third explanation is what they told us in high school, that Rashi and the Dorim was written by Rashi's daughters. And that's why they explained to us that's why we don't learn Rashi and the Dorim. This, somehow they didn't realize that, like, they're insulting half of the human race when they said this, but that's what they told us. Right? There you have it. Okay.
That's what it is.
It's my high school career. Fine. So Rashi writes that Ben Gilo means a bachor kamoso zakin lezakin, someone who's young like you or someone who's old like you. In other words, this trick of getting a 60th of your ailment and making your 60th better only works if I am the same age as the person. So if I go and I visit one of the senior members of our community, that doesn't do the trick according to Rashi because I'm not the same age as them. Now, the Me'iri, right? The Me'iri is trying to also give like a rational type of explanation for Ben Gilo. The Me'iri writes something like this. But Ben Gilo, let's skip the second line in this Me'iri. Ben Gilo rotza lomar shebikuram arev alav shemitzad hano aso mehem chol yom mekal. The Me'iri gives a rational explanation. He says, you know what Ben Gilo means? You like me. I like you. We're friends. When I visit you, you're happy. If you're happy, you feel better. If you feel better, you're likely to get better. That's what the Me'iri says.
Ben Gilo means what? Means a friend.
So the Me'iri seems to be understanding that Ben Gilo means someone who is a friend. Right? It's different than Rashi, different than Me'iri. Maybe it's similar to what the Me'iri, maybe it's similar to what Rashi is saying, although that requires a little explanation. And let me give perhaps an explanation like this. Empathy. There is a concept, by Hasidim they say about how the Rebbe always is very tired. Because whenever someone comes in and tells the Rebbe about all of his tzaris, so the Rebbe feels what the person feels. And the way they say the story is that the Rebbe has to take off his bekesha and put on the other guy's bekesha and imagine that he's the other guy and imagine what the other guy is going through. And that makes the Rebbe himself sick. That's what Hasidim say. They ask, how come the Rebbe always gets sick? The answer is because he is hearing so many tzaris, so much difficulty that Jews have. That is what psychologists call empathy, no? Says the Ben Yehoyada that that's the explanation of both Rashi and the Me'iri. He doesn't quote them by name, but he's saying that the idea is, the Me'iri might be a little different. He's saying that you're happy when I come, but maybe what Rashi means is exactly this point. I am your age. I come in. I see that you're sick. I realize I could be you. So what's going to happen if I feel I could be you? So I'm going to empathize with what you're going through. If I empathize, I really feel your pain, so I'm going to get a little bit sick myself, no? The Gemara has a comment like this in a few places, that tefillah is only answered, right, on the pasuk Vayechal Moshe. Right? We say that we've laid this on fast days, right? Vayechal Moshe. So the Gemara says, Vayechal means he davened until he became sick. Right? The real essence of tefillah for somebody else, and Bikuchom has to have tefillah, is that I feel what they're going through. And maybe that's what a Ben Gilo means. In other words, I'm getting a 60th of your illness, and by the way, and then what happens? You're the sick person in bed, I come in to visit you, you realize that I really feel for you, you say, you know what, somebody cares about me, and I get sick, but you get better. That's the explanation that's given. Again, I think psychologically is insightful. It's nice. Whether it works like this in the real world or not, I don't know. But one thing I can tell you is that we're not saying that there's any contagious disease. It's not that I'm getting some of your illness. Fine. Now, it's worth noting that the Rambam is the classical rationalist, no? The Rambam does not quote this concept of Ben Gilo at all. Right? The Gemara says that it only works, this 1/60th trick only works, if I am somehow similar to you. In the Rambam's formulation, he writes, Bikuchom is a mitzvah on everybody, afilu gadol mevaker sakotan, even an older person or more senior person, a person with greater stature, visits a lower person, mevaker in harbei pa'amim bayom, v'cho ha-mosef mishubach, the more I do Bikucholim, the better off I am, ubilvad shelo yatriach. That's a very important line in the Rambam, providing I don't become a pain. No? Then he writes, when I visit you, I take away a portion of your illness. The Rambam doesn't say a 60th. Right? It's ke'ilu. It's as if I'm taking away a portion of your illness. And the Rambam doesn't tell me that I have to be a Ben Gilo. The Rambam doesn't tell me that I have to be a specific type of person who is born under the same constellation, is the same age, or something. Right? That's very important. Right? The Rambam, the rationalist, basically is rejecting this line in the Gemara because the Rambam is saying it doesn't make sense. Now, the Me'iri was also a rationalist, so the Me'iri reinterpreted the Gemara, that Ben Gilo for the Me'iri means I'm your good friend. Okay, be it as it may. Now, there is a... What?
It's not like you're really taking bad sickness. It's ke'ilu. It's, you know...
Okay, it's ke'ilu I'm taking some of your sickness. In other words, I'm... Well, what does that mean? It's as if... In other words, it means I think that if I'm a vakachol properly, I'm going to make you feel a little bit better.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And that's that the person visiting gets sick.
No, the person visiting doesn't get sick at all. You don't see that at all in the Rambam. You don't see anything now that they have to have some connection between these people. You see nothing of that. Fine. So that is one case of... one atypical circumstance of Bikur Cholim, that I end up getting your illness again. But I think that basic idea that we're getting at, the way I understand this the best, is the idea of empathy, and somehow the empathy will make you feel better. And there's another notion that I want to mention quickly about Bikur Cholim for an enemy. Let's, yeah.
What invitations they write in Ben Gilo, Bas Gilo?
Yeah, so what does that mean? So some people say, Ayin Beis Lamed in Bechiras Libo. So let me say in Bas Gilo. Bas Gilo in wedding invitations is the great idea of mazel, no? Mazel means, what does it mean when I say mazel tov? It means that you should get married under the right constellation, no? You ever thought of that? When you're screaming mazel tov, it just means that like the stars should line up right?
So why do we say it?
I have no idea.
It's used to mean congratulations. It's more.
It means congratulations. Yeah, for us in Yiddish, it means congratulations. But the word mazel really means there are 12 mazalos. There are 12 signs of the zodiac. Mazel tov means it should be a good consolation. That you should get married and all the stars should line up properly. I don't understand any of this. But... So Bas Gilo is the same idea of mazel, that it should be that I'm marrying somebody who matches up with my constellation, that like our horoscopes are the same, or whatever, or different, or...
Or different, yeah.
It should match. Again, I don't understand this. Fine. Am I allowed to visit somebody who I hate? Right? Is the mitzvah Bikur Cholim... Now, what's interesting is that the premise of this question is that I hate the person, he's sick, but I want to go to visit him. In other words, I don't hate him all that much, no? It's not that I hate the person so much and I say, Zelo habin afinster gehenim. No? I'm not saying that he should, like, have a dark hell and, like, burn. It's not that type of guy, no. Right? It's somebody who I want to visit even though he's sick. Even so, there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. The Maharil writes, But in the Ramah here, in the section begins the enemy. So in the second line, that section, Haggah, the Ramah quotes, Yesh omen desone yachol leilechol vaker chola. The Maharil says that a enemy is allowed to be mevaker. Says the Ramah, velo nir oli. This appears wrong, no? This appears wrong. Elo lo yevaker chola, velo yenachim ovel, shehu son el, shelo yechashev shesomach leido. What's going to happen if I knock on the door of my archenemy, the person, right, who for 50 years I have been cursing out not only under my breath but on top of my breath, right? What's going to happen? What are the neighbors going to say? Neighbors are going to say that I'm gloating, no? I'm gloating, I'm happy. I'm going to visit him now that he's sick because this is my last revenge. I finally got him. That's what the neighbors are going to say. And comments the Ramah, based on this, you should not visit your enemy when your enemy is sick. Now that is interesting, no? In other words, the perception that other people are going to have of the visit, this is where Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said it, influences whether or not there's a mitzvah to visit. My intentions are pure. Right? I'm a good guy. I want to visit Shmerel, because I realize, you know what, for 50 years he's been fighting, now he's sick, I feel bad, I decide, you know what, finally I want to visit him and make good, right? No one is saying I'm insincere, but the neighbor, right, I'm very sincere.
Well, the neighbors,
the neighbors are saying I'm insincere. The neighbors are saying that the only reason I want to go and visit is because I am happy for him.
That's
and therefore...
The guy himself will say it.
What?
The neighbors. The guy himself will say it.
No, it doesn't sound that way.
Eino elo tzamer.
Shelo yechashev. It should not be considered shesamach lido. It shouldn't be considered...
Right, but look at the next part.
Eino elo tzamer. And the ill person, right?
Yeah.
The guy, even the chola, even the ill person is going to think, hey, how come my enemy is coming to visit me? Obviously because he's happy now. And even if in the course of the conversation I'm going to what? I'm going to say, by the way, you know, I want to make up, etc. It doesn't matter. That 1 minute of feeling that this sick person is going to feel that I'm coming because I'm happy that he's sick, that's enough to say, don't be mevaker chola. That's the psak of the Ramah. The Ramah says, do not visit your enemy.
Maybe you could write the guy a letter first.
So the Aruch HaShulchan suggests, right? The Aruch HaShulchan, I give it to you here somewhere. Here. In Sif Vav. Right? On the second side of the page. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Kosar Rabbeinu Ramah, Tisone Yachol Eichol Vakachol, Avlo Nerali, Elo Yivakachol, Velo Yenachim, Elo Mishahu Sono, Velo Nachim Avel, Mishahu Sono, Shelo Yachshov Shesomach Leido, Ve'in Lo Elo Tzar, Akan Lashon. In other words, he quotes the Ramah that the Ramah quotes those who say that you should visit. The Ramah says, I think you should not visit. Umihu, hakolofi mashi yasina. Everything depends on how extreme the hatred is, etc. Fine. And then he writes, v'chein. It's three lines before this ends. V'chein im hasone sholeach lo mikodem. Shirotze levak or lenachmo. If the enemy sends a letter that I want to come and visit, v'hu nosin al reshus, it gives you permission, then it's mutter. Then it's permitted. And that's recommended. Adaraba, mitzad zed, there's going to be shalom b'neihem. V'lachin yesh ha-kasur sh'ach sh'noagin sh'holei chasoni demevi l'idei shalom. In other words, today we assume that an enemy should go and visit, providing you call in advance. You send a letter in advance. So the guy says, no, I want you to come. Because you don't want to cause the guy the grief of... Fine. So that's what we do. So, generally speaking, in this other extraordinary circumstance, again, we see from here that there are two elements. The perception of others, and also how sensitive we have to be to the sick person, and how the sick person will interpret that that visit. It's very important to take the sick person's concerns into mind when I'm visiting him, no? Sometimes people think, oh, I'm doing the mitzvah bikur cholim, and you go and you stay too long. I think we mentioned last week that the Kutzker has had sharp ideas. The pasuk that we learn bikur cholim from is a pasuk for Hodat Olamas HaDerech Yelchu Ba. Yelchu Zeh Bikur Cholim, the Gemara says. They should teach them, right, this is Yisrael's tongue, Moshe Rabbeinu, to appoint judges, right? And you should teach them the path, Yelchu Ba, the path that they should take. So Yelhu, they should take, they should walk, that teaches me Bikur Cholam. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Metzia. So the Kusker says, in his own sharp way, you know what Yelhu Zeh Bikur Cholam means? He means that the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam is Yelhu, that you should leave, you should go. Right? Bikur Cholam doesn't mean to go and to stay there. I've seen people who did Bikur Cholam, and they stay there forever, and they are huge pains. Right? And it's very important to know to go and to get out of there. The mitzvah of Bikur Cholam is to get out of there. There is a discussion in Poskim that even though I'm not supposed to interrupt the middle of davening, and the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam is to daven for you. Some Poskim say, let's say I'm davening for the sick person, and I realize that the sick person don't want me there anymore. I'm not supposed to leave the middle of davening, right? Wrong. Pick up, get out. Right? The mitzvah is to get out. Don't stay there. Fine.
Sometimes you don't know what the guy doesn't really say.
So. Sometimes you don't know. Okay, you know, you do the best you can. But
is this the same or do we use the same concepts for morbid? Is it the same person who lost a parent or?
Yeah. So nichum avelim seems to be the same thing. Nichum avelim. If let's say my enemy is sitting shiva, so I shouldn't go and visit them because the enemy is going to think, oh, he's only happy that I'm suffering. There is a discussion though, if my enemy died, that maybe I'm allowed to go to the levaya. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, though, even if you go to your enemy's levaya, you shouldn't carry his body, because he probably don't want you to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, fine. That's...
the word has to really get out about this. I mean,
I missed something good.
You should call before and ask.
You should
use your common sense.
Okay.
As it happens, I've lost both parents because I'm old. But I've had the experience of people coming and having absolutely no clue.
They say the dumbest things. Yeah, I think last week I mentioned like the YouTube videos of that, the dumbest things to say. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Let's go on. Contagious diseases. Am I supposed to visit somebody who is suffering from, let's say, swine flu or bird flu? No? The guy's really sick. Right? But there's a serious risk that if I go to visit somebody who has bird flu, I could contract the illness myself, no? And I might die. Am I allowed to put myself into a somewhat dangerous situation to do a mitzvah? It's not definitely dangerous, no? Because many people are, how long are you going to be in the room? You'll be in the room for a minute, you say, hi, John, and walk out, right? And also today, you know, you go into these rooms, they make you wear these body armor suits or, you know, the backwards gowns. Mm-hmm. But there still is some sort of risk. There's still some sort of risk. Do I do Bikur Cholam when there is a risk? There is a large discussion about this. In the context of doctors, for example. No? A doctor has an obligation to heal people, correct? Does a doctor have an obligation to heal somebody with this very contagious illness that the doctor himself might get sick? Now, that's a question of, by the doctor at least, it's a question of whether I'm allowed to enter a suffix sakana to save you from a vade sakana. Can I enter a potentially dangerous situation to save you from a very dangerous situation? There's a huge literature about this. The Kesef Mishnah quotes him a Hagos Maimoni. We don't have the Hagos Maimoni. The Hagos Maimoni quotes him Yerushalmi. We don't know which Yerushalmi he's quoting. But the Kesef Mishnah quotes Hagos Maimoni, quotes Yerushalmi. We don't know where any of these are. That you're obligated to enter a somewhat dangerous situation to save somebody from a definitely dangerous situation. However, many poskim feel that we assume that it's forbidden to do that. My obligation is to save myself, to protect myself. I should not enter a somewhat dangerous situation at all.
How can you...
Now, let's go slowly. We generally, in these situations, we follow the position of the Radvaz here. The Radvaz was an important figure. The Radvaz was Rabbi David ben Zimra. He was the rabbi in Egypt in the late 16th century. When the Radvaz was 80 years old, he decided he is going to leave Egypt and move to Israel. He decided for some weird reason not to move to Yerushalayim, where there are a lot of Jews. He moved to this community called Sfat, where there was not even a minyan. and he decided he's 80 years old, he thinks he's going to die there. The Radvaz's own bad luck is that he lived for another 30-some-odd years. Now, good luck, bad luck. During those 30 years that the Radvaz was living in Sfat, the Radvaz finally got himself students. There was a young man named Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, the Arizal, who moved to Tzfat at this time, who is a student of the Radvaz. No one would have heard of the Radvaz if not for Rabbi Yitzchak Luria. Right? The Radvaz was purely halachic. He didn't do any Kabbalah stuff. We know that the Arizal had to have been a Talmud Chacham because he was a student of the Radvaz. That's sort of is the Arizal's, like, the imprint. Right? That's what proves that he's something. So now, the Radvaz writes that it all depends on the level of danger. The Gemara has a famous case. I'm a chassid shulten. Let's say I see somebody drowning and I decide I'm not diving in to save the person, no? So Gemara says that's forbidding. You're not allowed to do that, right? You have to try to, but the Radvaz asks, one second, I have to jump in to try to save you. Everybody knows if I jump in to try to save the person, I could be pulled under myself, right? So he answers, well, first of all, it depends how well you know how to swim or not. Okay, that's important. Don't try to dive in and save somebody if you don't know how to swim. You'll be killed yourself. That's obvious. But he also says it depends on the relative levels of danger. You always have to balance how dangerous what you are doing is versus the risk to the person. This is the issue in Poskim, for example, about kidney transplants today, no? But every time I have a kidney transplant, so that means someone donates a kidney, right? Well, the person donates a kidney is doing something that is somewhat dangerous, no? You're going under
that's
the knife.
That's from a live donor, not from
kidneys are, to the best of my knowledge, always from live donors.
Aren't kidneys...
No. I think kidneys are from... A kidney is... The standard thing is that corneas and kidneys are from live donors.
No, they take
lobe of liver.
They can
from,
what?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they take corneas from dead people.
Corneas?
Yeah,
corneas
I've been on the side donor list for 100 years.
Yeah.
Sure,
kidneys they take from live people. Okay. Let's say it like that. Okay.
So they take
kidneys from a live person. So that means I'm going under the knife in order to give up my kidney in order to save you. Well, is that permitted? Right? I'm entering a somewhat dangerous situation to save you from a definitely dangerous situation. Am I allowed to do that? If you look at the poskim, they change their mind over time. In the earlier generations, the Tzitz Eliezer in Volume 2 of his Shuvah says it's forbidden. Why? Because Volume 2 was written in 1950 some odd. At that point, it was really, really dangerous to have your kidney taken out. By 1980 some odd, when he's writing his Shuvah, he says, you know what, if you want to do it, you can. Other poskim say today, well, you have to do it if you can, assuming that's already hard. It's hard to assume that you're obligated to do it because there is definitely some pain involved, etc. Bone marrow is a discussion. Blood is a discussion. Can you compel donation? Right? There is some danger that's involved. Even the regular blood donation, the people here who run the blood drive know, right? People could technically faint on the thing. It is possible. It's rare, right? That's why they always have orange juice, no? Help you. It's rare, but it is possible that someone could faint. There's some danger that's involved. The idea, obviously, is that we weigh, what their advisor is saying is that we weigh the relative amount of danger. Right? Blood donation, very low level of danger. To donate my kidney, much higher. Right? You have to figure out the amount of danger that I'm going through versus the danger the other person is in, and then try to balance the two. That's the issue. Yeah.
What about situations where the patient is in isolation for, let's say, they're getting the bone marrow transplant, so that's when you have to go in to make sure that they don't get any of your germs, so you're going to protect the patient from that.
Right.
Is there any issue about being with Dr. Kola at that point? Because you don't want to make the patient more...
So you don't want to make the patient more sick. So the Rama writes in the Tshuva, it's not in Shulchan Aruch, but the Rama in the Tshuva writes that the Bikur Cholam is a mitzvah. The Gemara only says that we're not mevaker people who have one specific type of ailment, where they're like running to the bathroom all the time. That's the only time the Gemara says we're not mevaker. Says the Rama, it sounds like every other ailment you are mevaker. Either guy might get sick. The Rama says, Shomer mitzvah lo yida davara, you're doing a mitzvah, God will protect them, chick chak boom. The practice is not like that. People generally are not mevaker chola with someone who is very, very sick. and I should say very sick and contagious, that you might get it. People are generally are not mevaker chola in the situations when the person is in such a fragile state any foreign body could hurt them. But what we usually do is we follow the doctor's leads in these cases. You ask the doctor, can I go? The doctor says, yeah, so you go. It's really not rocket science, but that's another aspect of Bikur Cholam. Now, this is, though, where the fact that the Chevra Kadisha / Chevra Bikur Cholam got paid matters, no? The Gemara has a comment, Ve'elov hu noseyas nafsho. The Gemara has a comment that a person puts himself in danger in order to earn a living. There's some people who, in order to earn a living, let's say, work in these factories in China, where they could have their arms or their, who knows what, chopped up by the machinery every moment, right? There are people to earn a living. The Gemara's case is a little less gruesome than that. Someone earns a living by climbing up to the top of trees and pulling down fruits. It's dangerous up there on the top of the tree, the Gemara says. What is the heter to do that? The Gemara says there's a special heter. It is the only time in Orthodox Judaism we have a heter called earning a parnasa. To earn a living permits me to put myself into something that would otherwise be a dangerous situation. Why am I doing it? Because I'm earning a living. So the poskim say, you know what the heter for a doctor is to cure somebody with bird flu, swine flu, etc.? That's the heter, right? In the pocket. And therefore, the poskim say, in those communities where you pay the biker cholim people, so they should go and visit someone when they are sick, because that's the way they earn money. It sounds a little weird to me, but that's what they quote in this same Shuvah Netzitz Eliezer. Okay, I just want to talk for the last 2 minutes. We're talking about the last extraordinary circumstance of Bikur Cholam, which is on Shabbos. The Gemara says in Shabbos on Daf Yud Beis that Bekoshi Hitiru Lenachem Aveilum Levakur Cholam B'Shabbos. It was difficult to permit it. Meaning to say that the Gemara did not want us to be Mevakeh Chola on Shabbos. And the Rishonim explained, the Ran explains, the reason why is because if I'm going to be Mevakeh Chola, what's going to happen? I'll come in, I'll see that the person is ill, and I'm going to feel bad, no? And that's going to destroy my Oneg Shabbos, right? My Shabbos is supposed to be a day of enjoyment, and if I'll see my friend in bed, so my friend is going to be happy that I come, but somehow it's going to stare, it's going to disturb my Shabbos. And therefore I should, right? Therefore, the Gemara says, Bekoshi Hetiru, it was difficult to permit visiting the sick on Shabbos because we don't want to potentially destroy the Oneg Shabbos, the enjoyment that you have on Shabbos. Yeah, let's just make a few more points over here. That's point one. Now, some poskim say, since it's only Bekoshi Hitiru, it's difficult, that means that you should avoid going to be Mevakeh Chola on Shabbos at all costs. Go during the week, not on Shabbos. You should only go on Shabbos, right, if you have no opportunity to go during the week. The show, I think, has a Bikur Cholam group that goes every Shabbos, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think that's probably because we really couldn't do it during the week, no? People work. People are busy. But if you could go during the week, you have to go during the week, right? Not on Shabbos. Because we're worried that by being Mevakeh Chola on Shabbos, and some poskim say that the first time I visit, this is all here on the in the Shari Tshuva, the first time I visit also should not be on Shabbos. Here, v'gam kasa b'shem chachmei hamusar, d'mishev sipik b'yado lo yafa osa mevakeh chola b'shabbos. If you can do it, if it's sipik b'yado, you earn the money, right? Money's not an issue, don't be mevakeh chola on Shabbos. V'yelach b'chol levakeh aniyim cholem, v'yira aniyim mitzracha mirachim aleim kefi asher tasig yado. Again, we're talking about a rich guy who doesn't have to work. So you should visit the poor sick people and see what they need and pay their medical bills. Okay, that's what it says. Good. Fine. And that's the proper mitzvah of Bikur Cholam Kitzikuna. V'nira, it appears, however, Misha b'yimos ha'chol tarid b'milu d'shmaya. Someone who all week is very busy with doing God's work. Oh, the Alma, he's very busy doing his own work. U'b'shabbos yishlo p'nai, so then ho'lech l'chola ohavo, sh'yodeya bo, sh'yishlo nachas mizeh, sh'uba elov l'vakro, that mitzvah ka'ovid, v'ein lo l'mnoa, n'olechas b'shabbos yantiv. In other words, if I work all week, Then on Shabbos, I could go and visit my friend. It sounds like someone who's not my friend I shouldn't visit on Shabbos, because the person would say, hey, how come you're only coming to me on Shabbos today? You only come to me when you have a day off? I think most people today are not worried about this, and they're mevaka chol on Shabbos, even for those who they don't know. But then there's an interesting comment to the Shari Tshuva. He writes, last line, Mishahu racha levav, someone who has a soft heart, umeitza yisuri achol, and the pains of the ill person bother him, ein lo leilich b'shabbos levaker, you shouldn't go, dila onig nitan v'lo letza'er. In other words, if I'm a crier, and I know that I'm going to go and visit on Shabbos, it's just going to wipe me out, so then I shouldn't go. That's what the Shari Tshuva quotes. The Tzitz Eli Ezer in the Tshuva, Tzitz Eli Ezer, remember, was the rabbi of the hospital, the Bikur Cholam, the Shari Tzedek hospital, excuse me, in Yerushalayim. Tzitz Eli Ezer says that he thinks we don't follow this lahalacha. He has a proof from a She'iltos, it's an earlier sefer. The She'iltos says that even if you're going to cry, that, yes, ordinarily I'm not supposed to cry on Shabbos. Right? I'm not supposed to cry on Shabbos. But if I'm crying in the performance of the mitzvah Bikur Cholam, it's better to perform the mitzvah Bikur Cholam and to cry than not to perform the mitzvah Bikur Cholam. Now, two other points. All week long, when I am a vaker chole, I have to daven. Right? That's what we said. On Shabbos, I can't daven the regular way. I can't say, God should send you a refuah shalema. Instead, I say, Shabbos himi lizok urefuah krova lavo. Right, that's Shabbos, and I can't scream, but the refuah krova lavo, the refuah shalema, the healing is coming very soon. So no one knows what that line means. What does it mean, refuah krova lavo? Shabbos himi lizok refuah krova lavo. What does that mean? So there are a few explanations that we could give of what this line means. One explanation is that Shabbos himi lizok refuah krova lavo. One explanation is as follows. You know what I'm doing? I'm saying that... One second. Oh. The Gemara has a comment like this, that bris milah has to be done. Every baby has a bris milah on day 8. Why? Because if you have a bris on day 8, that means that you went through Shabbos. And Shabbos will heal you. The very fact Shabbos is a day of healing properties. That's a comment in the Gemara. So some people say that that's what Shabbos, that's what refuah krova lavo means. Shabbos is a day that the day itself carries the power to heal you, and therefore the refuah is coming right away. Interesting, I don't know what it means. Others say as follows, that ordinarily when I daven for refuah shalema, I should daven either in the bracha of refuah or the bracha of shema koleinu, no? There's a slight difference. If I daven in the bracha of Rifa'enu, ordinary, if I daven in the bracha that speaks about healing, so the halacha is I could daven in Rifa'enu only if there's a person who is sick right now. Shema Koleinu is an opportunity to daven for anything. It's like the elastic clause of Shmona Esrei. In Shema Koleinu, I could even daven that I should not become sick later on. Rifa'enu, I only daven if someone is sick now. Shema Koleinu daven, you know what? Keep them healthy. Okay, that's a difference. But on Shabbos, I don't say Rifa'enu, I don't say Shema Koleinu. So when do I daven? When do I think about the Refuah Shlema for the person? So obviously, I think about the Refuah Shlema at the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. I say, Somech Noflim Rofei Cholem. I say Rofei Cholem right at the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. I say, that's what I think. So some say that's what Refuah Krova Lavo means. It's Krova, it's coming earlier in the Shmoneh Esrei. Cute. Don't know. The third explanation that I'd like to mention is the Tzitz Eliezer in the Tshuva Chelek Yudal and Simen Memches. Tzitz Eliezer writes that he thinks Refuah Krova Lavo is as follows. Shabbos Himi Lizok, all week long, we believe that the true Refuah comes because we daven. We scream out to God. And that creates a true Refuah. Yes, we go to doctors, but ultimately we believe that the real healing comes because of the prayer. But Shabbos, I'm not allowed to pray for someone to get better unless that person is chola hayom. The din is if somebody is sick that day, and it's that day could really matter one way or the other, so then we daven for the person on Shabbos. Short of that, we shouldn't daven for people on Shabbos. That's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so how do the people get better on Shabbos? How do they get better if I'm not davening? Right? Usually they get better because I daven. The answer is Shabbos himalizok. By not screaming, that's what, by keeping Shabbos the proper way and not screaming, therefore refuah kruv olavo, therefore we believe that Hashem will send the refuah shleima. That's a very interesting idea. This is obviously a big topic. How to daven on Shabbos for an ill person. The text that we have in davening of the Mishnah Berurah, right, is a very, very troubling text, no? For the Mishnah Berurah contradicts itself, no? Let me just turn to it in the Siddur. Right, the Mishnah Berurah for a sick person is, Mishnah Berurah HaBasein HaBa Mishnah Yaakov Moshe Adon Shlomo, blah, blah, Hu Yivarech V'Yirapei Es HaChole, because we'll give tzedakah, B'Shchayz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Because we're giving tzedakah, God should strengthen the person. God should send refuah shleima. Shabbos himalizok. But I'm not screaming. I'm not davening. But God should send refuah shleima. Wait a minute, you just davened a sentence ago. Now I'm saying we're not davening. What's going on? It's almost like Nishan Shabbos Karet. It's almost like, yeah, I'm davening, but I'm not. We don't know exactly what the text means. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, by the way, you should take out these lines in the Mishnah Berurah. The Aruch HaShulchan says, do not say the Mishnah Berurah of Yishlach LeRefuah Shleima Min HaShamayim. That's what Aruch HaShulchan says. Others have the following suggestion, that on Shabbos, why is it that I don't daven for a sick person? The answer is because on Shabbos I only ask for spiritual needs, not physical needs. But if I'm asking for the physical needs of many, that is considered a spiritual need in halacha. So when I make a Mishnah Berurah in Shul, and there are many people who are making the Mishnah Berurah for, so therefore that counts like it's Sarchei Rabim, like it's many people, and that is considered a spiritual need, and therefore I'm allowed to pray for that on Shabbos. That's why I don't like the practice that we do in this Shul, but I haven't changed it. Right? In other words, the better practice to do a Mishnah Berurah for Cholam should be that one person is the Gabbai has a list, and you're davening for a lot of people together. Everyone recite the name under your breath. It means that I'm davening for myself. You're davening for your. It might take 20 minutes. That's why people would kill me if I changed this practice.
That's what it says in the text, but Sof Shar Cholam Yisrael. That's why the Mishnah is.
But we Paskin, the Gemara in Shabbos has a machlokas. How do I daven for a sick person on Shabbos? One opinion is I daven by saying you should heal him besok shar holi. So we don't Paskin like that. Oh. We Paskin like the opinion that I should say Shabbos himalizok.
So we do both, actually.
We do. That's also a problem. That's all part of the Aruch HaShulchan's problem. I think it's far preferable to try and have a Mishnah Berurah done in a way that you're davening for a whole group of people. That would be preferable. Again, obviously we're not changing this because my life is on the line. But thank you very much for coming.
If you go to a smaller
minyan, I think it's far preferable, yes. Right. I think that's a problem. Yeah, it should be... Yeah.